Pshischa and the Parsha tonight is sponsored by the Pollux. Mazel tov to the Pollux on Yedidya's wedding from last night. We hope they're all staying safe and enjoying the wedding in good company. And hopefully we'll see them back here soon. But thank them for sponsoring. I'm sure they have like Shabbat brachos or something to do tonight. But we'll see them soon enough. Va'era. Parshas Va'era. Really getting into the swing of things. We're getting into Klal Yisrael, coming out of Mitzrayim through the Makkahs. And the pasuk I quoted last night in the board meeting actually has a couple of different takes on it. On a Hasidic level, we'll talk about one of them here from Rav Simcha Banim. So for those who aren't on the board and weren't privy to my very quick Dvar Torah that I give before the board meeting starts, so we talked about the pasuk where the pasuk says, "Hu Moshe v'Aharon," that Hashem was speaking to Moshe and Aaron, and usually the pasuk phrases it in that way, Moshe and then Aaron. So why is it that here it says specifically Aaron and then Moshe? Presumably in order to teach us, as Rashi tells us, that sometimes Aaron came first, sometimes Moshe came first, not just in chronology, not just in tasks, but also in potential. I said yesterday, I think Rav Moshe actually says this, I didn't quote him last night, but I'm pretty sure Rav Moshe has an idea like this, that every person has their own potential. And Rashi says that sometimes that Moshe and Aaron were equals in this sense, that even though Moshe was the greatest Navi of all time, Aaron also had his own not just Nevuah, but also his own tasks and his own potential, and they had both fulfilled their potential in the way that they were supposed to, and therefore they were shkulim hayu, that they were similar, they were the same. Rashi tells us,
is the birth of Aaron anywhere in the Torah? We don't remember when Aaron was born.
I don't think we know, but the Medrash fills it in that Aaron was the oldest, I think. It's unclear what the timing was like. It's unclear how long that was in place and when it was in place, but Aaron is a bunch of years older than Moshe. I think Miriam, what they say, was 5 when Moshe was born. So Aaron was even older than that. But either way, so Reb Simcha Banim says, Yesh mekom Moshe maktim Aaron l'Moshe. Because Yitzias Mitzrayim Yeshba Shnei Devarim. There were two aspects, two elements of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we'll get to this in a different way in a second. Haskamas Paro Lehotziam V'Shei Yisrael Yirtzu Atzeis. There's on the one hand Paro who had to let them go, and then there's the Jewish people who had to want to go. Right? It wasn't necessarily the same two things. Ube'od Shehashlichos LeParo Noada LeMoshe. And as long as the main mission was to convince Paro, v'lachem huktam ba Moshe tchila, that's why Moshe would be first. Because first and foremost, you have to go to Paro. However, when it was coming to Moshe, then harei al Aaron, hutal l'shachnea es Yisrael sheyaskimu latzeis. V'lefikach kasher hamedubar hu b'Yisrael, hiktim Aaron l'Moshe. In this case, the messaging at the beginning of the parsha was specifically to the Jewish people. And therefore, when it was talking about the Jewish people or to the Jewish people, Aaron came first. And this is a paradigm in Hasidic thought. This is not necessarily the biggest chiddush of this pasuk, that Moshe took care of Paro and Aaron took care of the Jewish people. But it is a big concept in terms of leadership. There are two kinds of leaders in the world, or at least two kinds of religious leaders, and definitely two kinds of Jewish leaders. They're the Jewish leaders that bring down Hashem's word to the Jewish people. They're trying to bring down and give over what Hashem says to them. And then there are those leaders that take the Jewish people and bring them up to Hashem. Right? Two different models. That sounds very sort of esoteric and too categorical. But what it means is Moshe Rabbeinu was the teacher. He was the one that gave over the Torah. He would pull out the Shulchan Aruch and tell you what the halacha is. This is what Hashem wants of you. Aaron was the one who brought the people up to be able to hold the Torah, to be able to fulfill the Torah. And this is the first instance you find it, that Moshe Rabbeinu is taking care of Hashem's message to Paro, and Aaron's taking care of the Jewish people, going through and fulfilling that message. So in, when it comes to, you know, when it comes to generations, I feel like this is also true, that different generations respond to different types of leaders, right? There's some generations that can, you know, have a certain, you know, sort of not a blind faith, but a very, very committed and almost sacrificial, you know, observance to whatever they have to do, right? There's a certain mentality of certain generations that they have to work hard and get to the end goal and fulfill what they're supposed to do. And then there are those generations that need leaders to sort of prod them along, to sort of bring them and show them that they can be, that they have the potential. And I feel like, you know, every, you know, rabbi, every congregational rabbi really has to put on both of these hats. I was just talking with Ricky, with some, you know, another rabbinic couple in the community we're trying to work with, and we were talking about this, how, you know, it's a delicate balance. On the one hand, you want to keep the people growing, you want to sort of, you never want to bring the Torah too low so that they're not really challenging themselves, but at the same time you have to be at their level, right? So it's sort of like a tug of war almost. Right, if I would come here and teach you the Aleph Beis, so none of you are going to grow, but you'd be able to do it. On the other hand, if I would teach you, you know, some kind of very in-depth, you know, Achron, you know, very difficult piece of Gemara or a very difficult piece of, you know, of a tshuva or something like that, so then it would be beyond everybody. So you have to find that balance where it's the Torah being brought down to the level that people can understand it, but it's not too far down that the people don't have to also raise themselves up. And that's sort of like, you know, every leadership position has to do that when you're dealing with people that you're trying to, you know, bring up and help them develop. So that's that's sort of the first time you find this paradigm between Moshe and Aaron. And there are two different roles, Moshe being the one who brought down Hashem's message, and Aaron being the one that brought up the Jewish people towards that message. Not exactly in the same way of Torah and Halacha, but at least in the way of getting out of Mitzrayim. That Moshe had to convince Paro to let them out from Hashem's messaging, and Aaron had to convince the Jewish people that they should be let out, that they want to be let out. And this actually connects to another idea from the Chidush Harim, that when the, this is something I talked about on Tuesday, or at least a phrase I talked about on Tuesday, that Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shemu elai. The Jewish people didn't listen to me. Ve'ech yishmeinu Paro. If the Jewish people didn't listen to me, how could Paro listen to me? So this is one of those, you know, I said on Tuesday, this is one of those sort of like underhand softball type of questions. Of course that's not a good Kal v'chomer, because the Jewish people just said in the psukim right beforehand, Lo shamu Moshe mikotzer ruach me'avod hakasha. Why didn't the Jewish people listen? Because they were working hard. So why would it be the case that Paro wouldn't listen? Paro's not working hard. So how could you say if the Jewish people don't listen, surely Paro's not going to listen? And we talked on Tuesday about how the idea by Moshe Rabbeinu, also from Pshischa, from the Sfas Emes, was that really Moshe Rabbeinu needed the confidence to have to know that the Jewish people were behind him. And then what he means is Lo shamu elai. If the Jewish people won't listen to me, ech yishmeini Paro. How could it be that Paro is going to listen to me? Because I'm not going to have the confidence to give over the message. The Chidush Harim has a different take. Not the Chidush Harim. Who is it? I think the Rav Yitzchak Varka, I think, says this. I think. Yeah, I think Rav Yitzchak Varka says this. Although I'm going to, hold on. Yeah, we'll give two more ideas, right? So there's a conventional wisdom, which is that the Jewish people didn't listen. How's Paro ever going to listen? That's one. That's Rashi. That's a Kal v'chomer. And then number two, we said from the Sfas Emes that, in, you know, Lo shemu elai, if I don't have the confidence because I don't have the Jewish people behind me, how am I going to give over the message? Va'anir al sfasayim, I can't speak. I can't have that same kind of oration that I usually have. Even it was a kavad peh, kavad lashon. So now we have Rav Yitzchak Varka. I think it was Rav Yitzchak Varka. Rav Yitzchak Varka says like this. V'nir lefaresh lefi divrei harav hakarosh Rebbe Pinchas Mikaretz. Rav Pinchas Karitzer, interesting that I've seen this in two places and the other place doesn't mention that, but either way, Shemoshe Rabbeinu Ahav Hashalom Hayaroa Ne'eman U'Masor Shel Bnei Yisrael V'Chipeis Tamid L'Himalitz Tov Ba'adam. Moshe Rabbeinu was always trying to do good for the Jewish people. He was always looking for what would happen, what would be the best outcome, the best result for them. V'Kach Amar Moshe Rabbeinu Ahav Hashalom. It's a beautiful read of the Pasuk. Hein Bnei Yisrael Lo Shamu Elai. The Jewish people did not listen to me. V'Uma Yiyeh. Right, he's reading the pasuk when he says this. Uma yihyeh im yishma'eni paro. Right, it says Bnei Yisrael lo shamu elai. They didn't listen. Ve'eich yishma'eni paro. How could it be? How could it happen? How could it take place if Paro listens to me? Right, what's going to happen? The Jewish people just said we don't want to leave. We don't believe, or we're not buying into the message, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem's going to take you out. Hashem's going to save you. Hashem's going to redeem you. He's going to take you, give you the Torah. And the Jewish people, Lo Shamu El Moshe, they didn't want to hear it. They don't want this anymore. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, what's going to be? Bnei Yisrael Lo Shamu Elai, they didn't listen to me. Ve'echish Me'ini Paro, how could I now go to Paro? What's going to happen? Paro is going to say yes. Paro's going to say, you know, I thought about it. You're right. Jewish people can go. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be stuck. He's going to have to tell Paro, yeah, about that whole thing. You know, I know you said that we could go, but my people don't want to go. What? How's he going to talk to Paro like that? Eich yishmeini Paro. How could it ever be that Paro's going to say yes now? If the Jewish people don't want to leave, what am I going to do if Paro says they can leave? So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu means when he says, "Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai, eich yishmeini Paro." What's Paro going to do? You know, how could it be that Paro listens to me? How could that turn out good for the Jewish people? Va'ani aras v'asayim. I don't know what to say. I won't. I'll be completely stuck. Right? Aras v'asayim means ein li pischon peh, lo yia li pischon peh. I'm going to be completely blocked up. I'm going to be completely unable to speak if that was the case. A really interesting part. So that's idea number three on the same pasuk. Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai ve'eich yishmeini Paro. What's going to happen if Paro listens? And then the Sfas Emes says, quoting from Rashi, again asking the same question. This is not a Kal V'Chomer. The Kal V'Chomer doesn't work because the Jewish people were working hard and Paro's not working hard. And maybe Paro is going to listen because he's not working hard. Ella says the Sfas Emes, a very quick idea. Not necessarily explaining that question, but Ela Adam Yisrael im kol kotzer rucho v'avodaso hamafreches karuv yoser lishma devar Hashem me'asher paro b'pi segas shalvaso. Even a Jewish person who is working and says he's not listening, even that person is more readily going to listen to Hashem than somebody like Paro. Even when a Jewish person is so low and he's so, you know, unwilling to listen to Hashem, there's still something in there that he might still listen. And therefore, that little bit is what saves the Kal V'Chomer. It's true, they're working hard, but even a Jew who's working hard would listen before a Paro would listen. It's an interesting take, but it really teaches you about the Jewish soul, which always wants to grow. So that's just another quick idea on that pasuk. Lastly, we have the pasuk of Paro saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, fine, after Barad, I think it is, right? After Barad, he says, okay, go, fine, just get out of here. Go worship, go bring those karbanos already, right? And they keep asking, can we have 3 days? We'll go, we'll do our thing, we'll come back. And Paro just says, no. All of a sudden at Barad, he says, yes, go. But the way that he says it is different than Moshe Rabbeinu asked. Vayikra Paro vayomer lechu zivchu leelokeichem ba'aretz. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, vayomer Moshe lo nachon lasos kein. It's not good. This is at the beginning of next week's parsha. Also, in a way, it's not good that we'll just go do karbanos. Derech shloshes yamim neilech b'midbar v'zivchenu la'ashet uzvachenu. I don't remember how to pronounce the word. Uzvachenu Hashem lokeinu v'zivchenu maybe. That it's not good to just go bring a carbon. We need 3 days, and then we'll bring a carbon. Says the Shem Yishmo, quoting from his father, the Abdenezer, the son-in-law of the Kotzker Rebbe, Lefi tfisaso vahavanaso shel paro efshel la'avodas ha'elokim ulahakriv lefanam karbanos tekef umliad. In Paro's understanding of religion, in his concept of what it means to be religious, all you have to do is do the action. And therefore Paro says, Lechu zivchu le'elokechem ba'aretz. Go do the carbon thing. Go do the sacrificial lamb thing. I don't care. And Moshe says, no, we can't just do it. We need 3 days to prepare. We have to get ourselves ready for it. We have to get ourselves out of the mindset of being in Egypt. And that's why we can't just do it right away. But Paro thinks you can just do it right away. Lolo hachanos mukdamos. Vafilu kasher shkun b'tavosah ha'shal mitzrayim ukshum adayim la'artzos. Or it's really it's a drush on the word ba'aretz, but he's saying even while they're in the middle of in the middle of Egypt, even when they're in the middle of that culture, okay, so go bring a carbon. Who says you can't bring the carbon? What do you do for a carbon? As Moshe, what do you do? He says, oh, we have to take the animal, we have to put it on the stone, we have to shecht it, and we burn it. So okay, you can do that here. Just go ahead. Here's an animal. Here's an altar. Just go ahead with your thing. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, no, that when it comes to Judaism, you can't be engaged with an antithetical culture while you're also trying to be religious. You have to dissociate the two. Masbir lo efo Moshe. Moshe says, Kilo zudarkam shel Yisrael. That's not what the Jewish people do. Tchila yesh li yisrachek mitvavos mitzrayim lihitar mina anyam aretzim. You first have to dissociate yourself from that culture. V'rak az efshar la'avodas Hashem yisbarach lizbarach lefanav. You can't bring your secularism into the shul. You can't bring your antithetical culture into religiosity. You have to be able to dissociate the two, to make a distinction between the two, and you can't bring a karban just in the next moment. It takes time, it takes understanding, it takes patience to get yourself out of that mode of thinking and into the next one. Lifnei hakarban drusha tshuva v'srachkus min hara. Before you do the actual act, activity of avoda, whether it's a karban or whether it's davening, you first have to get yourself out of the mindset of whatever you were doing beforehand. And this obviously is an idea for davening. It's an idea for other things too, that sometimes you have to take a pause, right? You're in the middle of something in this. I'm going to take this in a sort of like a more, a less religious avenue. We talked about this last year. In Parshas Nitzavim, we talked about the Matseva, that you have to pause, you have to stop, and then you can go into the next thing. We talked about the shofar, how it's also relevant to that, but not for now. The shofar and the mezuzah also is a stopping point. Because before you engage with something else that's important, you have to be able to stop what you were doing beforehand. You know, it's hard sometimes to daven, right? Most the most difficult davening of the day is oftentimes mincha. Because it's the middle of what you're doing. In the morning, chakras, okay, fine. You chakras, you just woke up. You haven't gotten involved with many things. Your head's not spinning from your colleague or your coworker or your boss or whatever it is. You don't have things on your mind as much. So chakras is a little easier. And you have that whole preparatory part of Sugda Zimra. But mincha, you're thinking about your spreadsheets and you're thinking about your tasks and you're thinking about what you still have to do, what you didn't do. Someone said to me last night after mincha, it was 6 o'clock. Well, it was mincha. Yeah, about 6 o'clock. They said, okay, back to work. I said, back to work. It's 6 o'clock. He says, yeah, it's busy season. So he's momish in the middle of work, takes a break to daven, and he's going back to work. Can you imagine how difficult it is to try to concentrate in Shmona Esrei when you have such a schedule? So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was basically saying to Paro. You can't just go from one to the next. You have to be able to separate the two. I have to get in a good headspace. The Jewish people have been here for over 200 years. They're not just going to be able to bring a karban the next moment. You have to separate the two. You have to pause. For them, they needed 3 days to at least get out of the 200 years worth of the Egyptian culture. And for us, you know, in our daily tasks, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm dealing with something and, you know, I'll pull up to the house and I'm going to go see my kids, but I sort of, you know, I pause in the car. You know, I just stop for a second. I look through any unanswered emails. I take 3-5 minutes and I just sort of process whether I have to do something anymore. I can sort of finish that. And then I go inside and I'm with my kids, right? You have to be able to dissociate the two. Sometimes not as easy, sometimes, you know, longer than I want. But Either way, you have to be able to stop, to pause, and then engage with what's significant. Because if you can't, so then you're not really there. We talked about this before. You know, when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu to go up to Har Sinai, v'shev sham, and stay there. So he's saying to them, really be there. Be in the moment. And you can't be in the moment if you're thinking about what you're going to do next or what you were just doing. I spoke once in shul about the chassid that came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe didn't want him to come, or the Rebbe wasn't being nice to him because he was already thinking about what he had to do when he went home. So the Rebbe says sometimes a person goes somewhere and they're not really there because their head is somewhere else. So same thing here. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to you, Tzipporo, it's true we're going to bring karbanos, but we need a break first. Where our head's going to be too much into the Egyptian culture. We need that distinction, we need that time in order to reset, to recalibrate, and hopefully do it the right way so we can be present in the moment and take advantage of that significant opportunity. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos.
I have a quick question.
Yeah, Dina.
What's the point of this 3-day idea?
Yeah.
It's all